The following recording was made from a backup of the Sunday night service. Due to technical difficulties, our normal recording method did not work. So the quality of this recording is quite a bit less than what you're accustomed to, but we believe the content will still be a blessing to you. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Seems like in these evening sessions, the Lord's just having me just talk on raw faith, just foundational principles of faith. I remember when Sue and I began hearing that way back in the 80s, the fundamental, foundational teachings about what is faith, how does faith come, how do you operate by faith, how do you activate your faith once you know what faith is, you know? And, I mean, it seemed like, what? Call those things which be not as though they were. Isn't that lying? Wouldn't I be lying to do that? Call myself healed when I have all these symptoms, you know? And it seems so opposite. And I'm telling you, faith, even 20, almost a quarter of a century later, over a quarter of a century later, still does not come naturally to the human mind. And I'm telling you, we need to I think the Lord's going to have me teach more on faith than I have up till now, because, you know, you say, well, I've heard that before. You ate vegetables before, too. Okay? Just because you had a carrot once doesn't mean you're done with carrots. You hear me? You need vegetables. And you need a good meal. Everything in this world flows opposite to faith in God's Word. Everything you see, all your emotions, your own body, everything. And without regular feeding on faith, you start to get weak in faith. You start making your judgments like the world makes their judgments. And if you do that, pretty soon you're going, well, what's wrong with me? I used to have a victorious life, and now I don't anymore. Well, you'll see it here. Here's the foundational, fundamental, one of the foundational principles right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, right there, that alone, we could do a whole seminar on that verse right there. See, because people get flaky on the one hand and say, oh, okay, well, I'm standing on the sidewalk. I want to cross the road. I see that the bus is coming. But I'm not moved by what I see. I'm going to step out in front of the bus because I have faith. What you're about to be is a bug splattered on the front of the bus. See? When it comes to those kind of things, that is why God gave us our five physical senses, so we can navigate through this world. You know, if the bus is coming, and you have eyes to see the bus coming, do not step in front of the bus. Okay? What he's talking about here is the truth of God's Word. Now, perfect example is in the same chapter. Okay? Right over here is near the end of the chapter. He says, let me see. Verse 17. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if any man, of course, that is women, that includes you too. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, a few things have become new. Now, behold, all things have become new. We used to have a song, you know. I can't sing it. I don't even remember hardly any of the words, but it's something about, after he got saved, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Something like that. My hands and feet looked the same before I got saved as they did after I got saved. You know, if I go looking by sight, I can't tell any difference. And if I go looking at my actions sometimes, I can't tell any difference. See, and that's where the devil starts beating you up. And I remember in the very early days, I mean, we're truly, what does it say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the best, the Greek word there is creation. The best, I think, translation, he is a new species. And now that he's given me that teaching where we did that around the cross, where everybody falls dead, the whole species of Adam is dead at the cross in Christ, If you're born again, you've literally been quickened to life out of that dead species. That's what it's talking about. You're not even the same human. You're not a descendant of Adam anymore. You are now a descendant of Christ. But boy, if you go looking in the mirror, you look the same. You go exercise too much too quick, you'll hurt the same.
Yes, I know.
You know, when I first got born again, I mean, I was a perfectly good little new tree. I was a new creation in Christ, but see, my dad, he likes to plant trees, especially fruit trees, and I've helped him plant peach trees, you know. Well, that first season, you've got a nice newly planted peach tree. It's a perfectly good peach tree. When it comes fruit-producing time, it produces peaches. They're about as big as a big marble. They're not very big, you know. You go pluck one of those things, peel it and eat it, man, that's the most bitterest thing you ever put in your mouth. You know, say, well, there's something wrong with this tree. No. It's a perfectly good tree. It's not had time to come to maturity. The fruit on the tree is very bitter. I would remember, I was very much like that as a new Christian, see. What I'm talking about is Sue and I. I mean, there were times we'd have arguments, you know, worse maybe even than we used to have. And I remember those thoughts would come, use a better husband before you got saved. None of y'all have ever had thoughts like that, but anyway. And he'd say, or he'd tell me I wasn't saved at all. It didn't work for you. You're not really saved. You're not born again. If I'm going to, at that moment, live by sight, I'm going to walk away from the truth of God's Word. See, the just shall, what does it say again? For we live,
we walk by faith,
not by sight,
and not by sight. Well, in that case, what do I have to walk by? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I remember I had to hang on to that and hang on to that and hang on to that. I remember those early lessons about confession brings you possession. Yeah. You're never going to rise above your confession. You might as well get that straight. If you keep saying about yourself, well, I just can't be victorious. I just can't live this faith walk. I can't this, I can't that. You're right. You've placed yourself right there, and you're not going to rise above that until you change. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You're placing your own ceiling on your life right there. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. Well, Romans 6 is a really good one. Let's go to Romans 6 for a minute. When it talks about this, I had such a war with this one during those years when I was struggling with smoking, and I was just smoking like a freight train. And loved God with all my heart. And tried to give up smoking 1,000 times. And I remember that one time I had a patch, a nicotine patch on each arm, chewing nicotine gum, and had to pull over on the side of the road for a smoke. Now that's addictive, okay? And I tried, really hundreds of times to quit. And I'd always go out there going back. See, the root never did die. The root was still there, okay? But still yet, you got to fight it, people. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. I'd read this one right here, Romans 6:1. Well, what shall we say then? Puff, puff. I like to do that, so you understand this is me. I'm trying to understand this, praying in tongues, spoken away, trying to understand this. And I know that it's sin. I know that it is, you know, especially the addiction to it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Puff, puff. That grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? And I'd read that and I go, God, it plainly says, I'm dead to sin. Here, that might, so maybe that would spur me to do it again. That's it. No more. Stomp on my cigarettes, throw away my lighter, make it a few hours, go to the Quick Trip, buy new cigarettes, buy new lighter. Because all the evidence in my body would say, you're not free. And I'd wind up living by sight and not by faith. Okay, living by sight and not by faith. Listen, I'm just picking on me because that's an easy one. Everybody practically that I wind up counseling with is dealing with something. not all sins are easily seen like smoking, you know. But there's something. It could be anything. I don't want to get into all that. But most people are dealing with something, even if it's just unforgiveness, or it might be gossip. It could be this. Could be a thousand things, okay? Now, how do you really get free? Well, you do need to strive in the flesh against those things. It wasn't easy. But the key is to live by faith and not by sight. Now, let me just show you something. In this same chapter here, come on down near the end. Verse 17 says, God be... Well, let's see. Verse 16. Well, 15. No, okay. 16. Says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, what you got to know is everywhere that you see the word servant right there, the real Greek word is slave. It's doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. Doesn't mean a servant like a waiter in a restaurant. It means a slave. God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin. Do slaves have a choice?
No.
We tend to think, before we got saved, that it was our choice. Well, I can sin or not sin. And at a momentary, on a momentary basis, it was somewhat true. Well, I'm going to, and I never did do drugs, but you know, person, I'm going to smoke this joint or I'm not going to smoke it. Okay? And you might do okay for a while, but the problem is that it's not that you're a sinner because of your action. It's a sinner because of who you are. See, you're a descendant of Adam. You've got that sin nature on the inside before you get born again. That's why it says you might do okay for a while, but eventually, nobody ever could perfectly keep the law, because eventually what you are is going to come to the forefront. And it says we feel like, no, I had a free will. You know, I had free will. Well, on a momentary basis, you did. But if we watched your whole life, we're going to see a certain pattern keep emerging. Why? Because there was a nature in you that made you bad. There was a nature in you that forced you to sin, whether you wanted to or not. You'd hate yourself for it. You know, you just hate it. I would do that with the cigarettes again and again. I'd hate myself for it. All right? But now what's really interesting in that same verse, we can understand that being a perfect type and shadow is, under the Old Testament, is all the people of Israel in bondage under Pharaoh. They were born that way. During that 400 years, if you were born during that last 100 years, you were born a slave. Wasn't your choice. Wasn't even really based on anything you did. You just born a slave. Well, that's the way. That's a perfect type and shadow of everyone born under the first birth. We're born a slave to sin. Now you can fight it, you can resist it, but what you are is going to come out. Okay, you're going to wind up sinning. That's why Paul says nobody could perfectly keep the law. All right. But now, what's interesting about that? He says, verse 17, God be thanked that you were the servant, the slave of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the King James, it says, servants of righteousness. You know, it's the same Greek word, doulos. You became a slave of righteousness. That's really who you are now. See, my actions don't show that all the time, Brother Gary. I don't feel like I'm a... Now, before I give the punchline here, he's saying in the same way that you used to be a slave to sin, no choice. Well, maybe a little bit. You could struggle for a little bit, get victory. But we watch you over the long haul, what are we going to see? Slave to sin. He's saying now, in the same way, using the same word, now that you're born again, you're a slave of righteousness. What? What? Now, you can resist it and go sin once in a while. But you'll be a miserable puppy out there. The most miserable person on the face of God's earth is a backslidden Christian. Out there trying to enjoy sin, but now there's no nature in you to really enjoy it. And you can be out there trying to do all the things that you used to just love. And, you know, all sin has pleasure for a season. I mean, there's a little bit of pleasure to it. But, I mean, your spirit will be smiting you. You'll be out there miserable. You know, why? That's not who you are anymore. You might go out there and dabble for a little while. It won't be very long. We'll see you back at the altar. Why? Because now in your heart, you're just as much a slave to righteousness as you used to be a slave to sin. Isn't that good stuff? See, that's really who we are now. There's a nature in us that keeps drawing us back to Christ and drawing us back to who we really are. We try and get out there and, you know, even just do little things. Like, I'm not even it's been many, thank God, I haven't had backslid to a drink since 1980, okay? But I've backslid to temper. I have backslid to yelling. I've backslid to demanding my own way and stomping around the house. Boy, I'm glad Sue's not here tonight. Well, I'm telling on myself anyway. I don't guess it'd make any difference, you know. Well, but I can't live there. And I feel like a slimy worm dog. I feel bad after I do it, you know. I mean, everything in me is just, oh, man. Well, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. You ought to turn to somebody right now and just say, did you know I'm a slave to righteousness?
Did you know that I'm a slave to righteousness?
Yes, I did know that.
Abby?
You're a slave. You're absolutely a slave to righteousness. You ain't really, over the long haul, you have no choice. You can do your best to run off and quit. But you're a slave. And you're going to wind up coming back. And real quickly. Because that's just who you are. Now see, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things truly have passed away. All things have become new. That's why this renewing of the mind that he's been talking about, like in this morning service, regarding the works of the Father, trying to get us over to where all things become possible to us. Man, we have got to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. The things that the Bible says about us, we're going to have to take those as being the absolute truth, even if nothing in your walk at this moment makes it look true. You know? Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John for a minute. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it kneweth him not. See, remember when he went to Nazareth and he was preaching and telling them who he was. You know, I am the Son. You know, he was telling them the same testimony that he went everywhere. But the way they evaluated it, they said, isn't this Joseph's boy? Don't we know him and his brothers and sisters, and they grew up in this town? This is the carpenter's son, isn't he? See, they knew him after the flesh. They knew him in their mind as the son of Adam, which really only applied to his body. His body came from Adam. But his spirit came directly from God. But they are evaluate. They didn't know him. The world, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't accept his claim to be the Son of God. They didn't know him. And guess what? The world doesn't know us either. They keep thinking that we're just a... That's why they think, well, one religion's as good as another. You know, you can be a nice Hindu, good Buddhist, and as long as you're sincere, you know. No. Those are just various paths to hell. That's all they are. They're religion devised by the mind of man. And they've got nothing to do with truth whatsoever. It says here, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. But it says, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now we are the children of God. We keep thinking, someday I'm really going to be, someday, you know. No, now! Now we are the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. Someday, see, we're going to have glorified bodies. Someday, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John got a little glimpse, just for a moment, of who Jesus really is. Remember what happened? His glory shone through this veil of flesh for just a moment. It said it even changed his clothes. It said his clothes were whiter than snow and everything, you know. He got a little glimpse of who he was on the inside. Do you know there's something like that on the inside of you? It does not yet appear. We're not yet. Mike, we're not going to always have to deal with these old bodies. Thank God for that, you know. He said, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now he's really preaching the same message that Paul taught over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where you behold Christ like in a mirror, as we behold Him, the glory of the Lord. What happens? We are changed into that same image. From glory to glory, it's not instantaneous. Don't you wish it was? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, see? As we see Him, we're changed into that same image. Why? Because the seed is already in you. His nature is already in you. But for that to happen, the just, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. That means you're going to have to evaluate yourself in the light of God's Word, not in the light of your performance. Tell God I'm doing the best I can. Hey, what's sad is that happened to me one night and I was doing the teaching. Hey, stuff happens. Get over it. No biggie. Okay. Right. Go over to chapter 4 just for a moment. I see we come down to verse 4. Of 1 John chapter 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because of something. Something has happened to you if you're a Christian. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now I'm telling you, your circumstances, if you're going to live by sight, it's always going to make you feel like the little pawn on the chessboard. Mm-hmm. That you get moved around and you have no choice. Well, everything's going along fine and then suddenly they announce you're getting laid off right before Christmas. I thought I was more than a conqueror. You are. Mm-hmm. Don't you change your confession. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, all of a sudden now, all my finances are gone. Says who? Mm-hmm. No, that particular avenue might be gone. Your provider has not changed. Your provider has not changed. Your source is not that job.
Yep.
Your source is not this. You know there's going to be more millionaires made during this next little period of time. You know, I don't know how long this economic turmoil is going to go on. The people I was watching a special the other day. The History Channel is like the devil to me. I have to be careful with the History Channel. I just love all of that. You know, turn it off. But I watched a special the other day on the Dust Bowl. It was called The Black Blizzard. Boy, if you want to see something very interesting, that was interesting. But it all through that part of the panhandle of Oklahoma and southwest Kansas and northeast New Mexico and southeast Colorado, that whole area, you know, back during the 30s. And finally it got so bad that the vast majority of the people that lived there, they just abandoned their farms and left. They went to California or looking for greener pastures somewhere else. So it was bad. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. It was really bad. Do you know that people came in and bought that land at pennies on the dollar? I mean pennies. And those people, 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, they become multi-millionaires. And their descendants to this day are still enjoying the fruit, the financial fruit of those decisions. During this next, however long this upheaval is going to last, that's going on right now, there is going to be millionaires and billionaires made during this thing. It's just a matter of hearing God and making the right decisions instead of the wrong decisions. See, Warren Buffett, you know, if you're going to have a hero in that arena, the financial arena, Warren Buffett would be a good one. You know what his motto is? I mean, here everybody else is sell, sell, sell everything, sell it now. You know what he's doing? He's buying GE and Morgan Stanley and putting billions in there. I mean, billions buying this stuff. Here's his motto. He says, be afraid when everybody else is greedy. Be greedy when everybody else is afraid. He said, well, they said, do you think we've reached the bottom? He says, I don't know and I don't care. He said, but I know 10 years from now, these companies I'm investing in are going to be a lot better shape than they are right now. That's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. He says, I can wait. See, he understands. Be greedy when others are fearful. But hey, anyway. We have to be, I like that decision. See, it makes perfect sense in that financial arena. We have to make those kind of decisions all the time. Rejoice when everything looks terrible. Paul said, rejoice. Here, let's look at it again. These are the fundamentals of faith. Sue and I, in the early days, we were trying to learn and put these things into practice. And I am telling you, nothing seems so opposite. You know? These are the days when finances were staying away from us in great abundance. And I mean, we sincerely did not know where the next meal was coming from. It was just amazing, you know. I thank God for the training that we got through in those years, but I also praise, I thank God I never have to go through them again. I hope I learned my lessons well. I don't want to have to go through them, but if I do, I do. But just things like this. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going wonderful. Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Is that what it says?
No.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Boy, we had a hard time with that. Because your whole life, if you live by sight and not by faith, well, you're happy and rejoicing when things are good. And when things are not good, you're bawling and squalling and telling everybody about your mouth and how bad it is, you know. Hey, that's the way the world does stuff. We rejoice in the Lord always. My favorite example of that again, and we'll make it into this next Sunday morning at 8:30. Here, Paul and Silas, they get a vision. They're asking God, what should we do? There's a night vision. Come over into Macedonia. There's a man standing there. Come over into Macedonia and help us. They obey God. They go to Macedonia. They lead Lydia and her family to the Lord. They cast the devil out of a fortune-telling girl. And that makes, I mean, they haven't done anything wrong. I mean, from the kingdom of God's point of view, they've done everything right. All right? What happens?
Right.
From the world's point of view, it looks like defeat. Now see, from the world's point of view, what happens? They get arrested. They get stripes on their back. Means they're bleeding. Then they put them in prison, in the stocks. Put their feet in the stocks, you know. Boy, now, most Christians I know, and trust me, I do enough counseling, you know, I obeyed God. Really, what happened? Well, this terrible thing happened, and this terrible thing happened, and this terrible thing happened. They're doing the exact opposite of what Paul said. Paul and Silas, what did they do at midnight? They rejoiced, and they praised God, and they sang hymns so loud that the other prisoners could hear them. And it so pleased God that an earthquake came and shook the prison so hard all the doors opened. And this is the one that I didn't get forever, but they didn't leave. Well, I couldn't understand for years why they didn't leave. I mean, God sent an angel to get Peter out of prison, and he left. So here an earthquake comes and shakes the doors open. I know most of us would have left. And I couldn't understand for years why he didn't leave. And I finally got it. It's that vision. Paul says, no, we can't leave. God showed me a man. It says, in that night vision, a man. From Macedonia spoke to me and said, come over into Macedonia. I haven't seen that man yet. Philippian jailer walks in. Paul says, oh, that's the man. Leads him and his house to the Lord. And the foundation of that Philippian church was set right there. That's the beginning of the Philippian church, which was to become the financial base for Paul's ministry for the next 15 years. They were the ones that time and again sent funds to finance the ministry in Thessalonica. More than once they sent to Corinth. Then in the Philippian letter, they have sent a gift to Rome. It wasn't defeat. Now from the world's point of view, see there those Christians, they obeyed God. Look what happened to them. That looked really bad from the world's point of view. From God's point of view, we're establishing the financial base for this ministry for the next 15 years. What? Wasn't a defeat, it was a success. Stripes healed. Was it? I want to take this off probably. Chicks dig scars, but anyway.
I did not know that.
That's just a guy's
name. Only the ones that eat, drink, and chew.
That's what they used to tell us in football practice. Hey, get out there and get hurt. Chicks dig scars. Come on now. Oh, let's get back to the Word of God. Let's get back to the Word of God now.
Oh my.
But see, this is a fundamental principle of faith. Rejoice in the Lord always, always, always. And again I say, as if that wasn't enough, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Flat means don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Well, that's easy. Nobody has any trouble with that, right? We're going to lay you off at Christmas time. Really? I rejoice in the Lord. And on the inside, oh my God! Oh my God! Well, don't think you're strange. That's normal.
Yep.
But what your spirit has to do is rise above that and rejoice in the Lord always. Mm-hmm. That's the time that there's ever a time. See, because he comes right on down here, he tells you how to do it. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, in that situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why the thanksgiving? Why does it say with thanksgiving? Act like he heard you. Act like he's hearing you. Father, I need a job. Did you know that? I'm asking you, I need finances. I need zama dollars a month, however much you need, you know. And I'm thanking you now that you hear me, and I don't care how it comes. This job is not my source.
That's right.
You are my provider. But here just a little bit. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
See, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your request be made known unto God. If you do that, the peace of God. As people normally get laid off, you get pink slips and... Or, I'm just picking on that one because, you know, that's going on and right now with a lot of folks. Oh, hey, I remember the day I got 6 months, they gave me 6 months to live. That's a real pink slip. That's a pink slip squared. You know, I gave you a pink slip, buddy. You know, you're leaving the planet in 6 months. Whoa. Don't worry about anything.
Rejoice
always in the Lord. Yeah, it don't come easy. I'm telling you right now, it don't come easy. I had to fight visions of coffins. I had to fight it. You know? Go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. Put His Word in my mouth. Whatsoever things are true. Here, He tells you right in the same passage. Verse 8. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He says that because you better, and it's your choice, and you have to make yourself think on it.
Yep.
More of my mind, if I just let it go, I would just gravitate. I'd catch myself thinking, all right, now how's Sue going to live after I'm gone? Let's see now. What can I do to set up some kind of income for Sue? You know, what about my kids at the time? You know?
That's true.
I wasn't even thinking about the grandkids so much then because most of them weren't even here, you know. And I'd catch myself. Boy, what do you do? You just shake yourself when you realize you're doing that. No, that's not things that are pure and lovely and good report and true. That's not what God's Word says. So I'd just find me scriptures. One of them that I really loved at the time was in Psalms 91st Psalm. With long life, God says, I will satisfy Gary.
That's right.
And I will show Gary my salvation. Because he has set his love on me, I will set him on. You know, on and on and on with those passages. And I'd have to use that to think on what is good. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith. And there is a work to that. It's not called a good fight. of faith for nothing. It's a fight because there is a fight to it. You got to fight those circumstances with God's word. You got to fight your emotions. You got to force yourself to rejoice. That I'm telling you, nothing in you feels like it at that moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's that old saying: you fake it till you make it. You force yourself to do it anyhow, and He will eventually. Something help comes from heaven. Is all I know. Something comes. And then you really are rejoicing. And boy, at that minute, you've already got the victory. You're just not seeing it yet, but you've already got the victory right there. I think a lot of times when Marinelle gets in that laughing thing, you know, I think what happened, that victory came right that moment. You may not see it for a little while, but right there it was won. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? Mm-hmm. But it says, verse 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, let's just be real plain. We've got just a couple more minutes here. Let's say, all right, here's a real case. I saw in the news where DHL, which is a company somewhat like UPS or FedEx, it's a German-owned company, and they have a big hub in Wilmington, Ohio. I think it's Wilmington. Anyway, it's a town in Ohio. The whole town is only a population of about 14,000 people. 7,000 of them work at DHL. DHL says we're shutting it down. Half the town works there. Can you imagine all the satellite businesses, dry cleaning, restaurants, everything in the world, you know, grocery stores, service stations, that services that 7,000, half your town? Now, at this moment, do you reckon in most of those houses, the peace of God which passes all understanding, mm-hmm. is keeping their hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. Not unless they've been taught this message. Not unless they've been taught faith. Yeah. Not unless they've somehow got a faith in God that He's going to provide for them no matter what happens. Because you know and I know, if things just go naturally, everybody's going to be on the phone. What are you going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. I'll tell you, it's bad. We just bought a new car. It looks like we're going to lose our car and that we were going to send our kids to college. And it would just go on and on and on. Absolute opposite of what this says. Thinking on things that are not lovely. Thinking on things that are of a bad report. On and on and on. And then they wonder why the peace of God doesn't rule. See, that's called walking by sight. Not by faith. Alright? Now, your faith makes a difference. According to your faith, be it unto you. And it's really your choice. The way this is worded, verse 4, we're about to rejoice in the Lord. Does that sound like it's up to you whether you do that or not? You can choose, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to rejoice in the Lord. He's not saying, well, rejoice in the Lord if you're able to do it. No, it's a command. Rejoice. Whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it. It's your choice. Rejoice in the Lord. When he comes down here, he says, think on these things. Why? It's your choice to do that. If you think on things that are true and lovely and of a good report, which really is talking about God's Word, if you'll think on that, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. And if words mean anything, he's saying, and if you don't, he won't. And you'll be all in turmoil and need ulcer medicine like all the rest of the world. The just shall live live by faith. I guess faith and sight. It's fight. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. You got that?
Yeah.
You got that? And it's your choice. It's always your choice. I see little Lupe. Didn't she look good walking in here on her own two little stems? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that cute? Come walking in here. Just a few weeks ago, she was, you know, going around with a walker, you know. Well, Lupe had to do what we all have to do. Rejoice in the Lord always, and you have to force yourself, don't you? It hurts. When you're hurting, it hurts. I thank you, Lord. You're my provider. You're my healer, Jesus. Now, you do all the things in the natural. What, you know, we're not stupid. You do all the things in the natural that you should do. But right on the other hand, I'm not going to be using a walker the rest of my life. I'm coming off of this thing. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to walk on my own two legs. I'm still going to see Loopy run again around this church. Mm-hmm. We're going to see it. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all got this?
Yes.
Whose choice is it whether you rejoice in the Lord?
Mine.
It's your choice. You really are a new creature. There is that Christ is in you. You're not the same old human you used to be before you got saved. You are not a descendant of Adam anymore. You have been spawned from the spiritual loins of the second man, the last Adam,
yes.
Jesus Christ, and you are a new species of human,
yes.
that never existed before. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We've got to believe that and walk by that knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, I think that's it for tonight.